H4TT, that is the podcast on anchor.fm. Here, it is our goal, honor, and joy to share and spread the hope of Jesus Christ with you, tomorrow's church today. My name is Alec, and as always, I'll be your host for today. Today, we have another interview with this woman named Christine Marie. Christine is a published poet, spoken word artist, a professional photographer, a creativity healer, and an energy healer. Now, you might be wondering, what is that? Well, we're going to get into that, kind of what she does and why she does it. So without further ado, let's get right into this interview. Let's get it. Today's interview is sponsored by Anchor.fm.
That's me, Luigi, and we are going to talk about how free apps are a very good way to get into podcasting.
With all seriousness, Anchor.fm is a perfect way to start podcasting today for free and even get paid for it. So please, please, please use the link in the description and start podcasting today. Let's get right to the episode. Here we go. Hey guys, welcome back to H4TT, the podcast. You know what that is. Hope for today's tomorrow. Here it is our goal to share. It is our goal, honor, and joy to share and spread the hope of Jesus Christ with you guys. Tomorrow's church today. My name is Alec. I will be your host for today, as always. And today we're getting into another personal perspective podcast episode, an interview with Christine Marie. Christine, thank you for joining me today.
Hi, Alec. Thank you so much for having me.
No problem. Christine Marie has quite the resume. She is a spoken word performer, a photographer, and she is an author. Oh, and I forgot to mention, she's also an energy healer and a creativity healer, and we're going to get a little bit into that in just a second. But first, I want you to tell us, what can we expect from this book that you just released?
Yeah, so the book that I just released is called Breaking Free, A Self-Healing Journey. And essentially, it is the connection back to my mind, body, and soul. I have grown up with quite a bit of dysfunction in my family, and that bled into a lot of different circumstances in my life where I was in a toxic relationship, and I really lost sense of who I was as a human being, as a spiritual being. And essentially, this is my pilgrimage back to myself after identifying, after spending years of identifying myself with the traumas that I had accumulated over the course of, 25 years. So yeah, it is definitely a book of just raw poetry that expresses a lot of what I needed in order to heal.
I love that. Guys, if you do have any interest in purchasing that book, I will leave the link in the description below to where you can go and get it for yourself. Also leave the link towards her website because she's got some pretty cool stuff on there. So tell us, just explain a little bit, try and just paint a picture. What does it mean to be a creativity healer?
Well, for me, creativity and creative self-expression, whether that's through art, music, writing, whatever form it is for somebody else, I believe that we are all vessels and we streamline, for myself especially, I streamline wisdom and medicine from the divine through me out into the world. And that brings a sense of healing, connection, love, understanding, belonging through these different mediums. And, and that it's just so beautiful because we all have our own form of way of self-expression. And I don't think that we give it enough credit or value, especially in our society. Like, but, you know, we forget how much the art mediums really, really do bring us a sense of healing and belonging. And I think that's like, you know, one of the most important things as a human being to remember is like how connected we truly are. And so for me, you know, expressing myself through written word, through spoken word, through photography, through storytelling, it allows me to talk about my experiences, my personal experiences, and connect with others that have gone through the same thing so they don't feel so alone.
Wow. That's amazing. I mean, that really reminds me of like music therapy and the study behind that and how that's so helpful for people with not only dementia but and those with memory issues, but those who have gone through trauma that has caused PTSD and flashbacks. Music therapy has helped so much. I know a friend of mine, back when he was going through some stuff, he went through some writing workshops and some drawing workshops where they just said, express yourself, and here's a paper and here's a blank canvas, go for it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so cool. So is that a lot different than energy healing, or is that kind of similar?
Well, I would say writing is definitely a form of energy healing. Okay. But it is different and it just has different context to it. So energy healing is essentially tapping into the person's energy field. We're all made of energy, right? And we all have like either blockages in our own energy, or we have clouds of darkness in our own energy. So what energy healing does is it brings the person's body, mind, and spirit back home to homeostasis. And a lot of those blockages in our body systems can be caused by traumas, can be caused by, you know, certain things like depression, anxiety. A lot of the things that we go through as human beings that we hold on to, anger, resentment, you know, sadness, things that we don't express ourselves and that we bury, they get stuck in our energy field. And so the energy healer helps unblock those so the person can go back to baseline.
Interesting. Very, very interesting. I like that. I do like that though. I think that's as a poet myself, I know I have written plenty of poems about energy and about how we all have that energy, but I've also written plenty of poems about that dark cloud within our energy. And I think what's so cool about it is the fact that you help people get out of that dark cloud. And what's so great about that is, if you guys really don't know what we're talking about when it comes to dark cloud, if you've ever been in, like she said, in the midst of depression or anxiety or just stress, so you just don't know, you're in a block. You just don't know what to do with yourself. You're stuck. That's a dark cloud. And we definitely need people out there helping us get out, almost like get out of our own way to get unstuck.
Absolutely. Yes. Yes, yes, yes.
Okay. So I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. I was just going to say, I couldn't say it better myself.
Okay, I got you. So guys, today's interview is going to be a little bit different in its formation. Her and I are just gonna have a conversation. When her and I had a phone call earlier, I think it was last week, we talked about some just great things that we just want to give to you guys, and we came to this conclusion that there's no better way to do it than to just have a free-flowing conversation. This is not going to be a Q&A interview, but you're definitely going to hear her perspective and you're going to hear my perspective. on the same topics, but from different angles. And it's going to be in a little bit of a different form. So guys, hang with us. So if you are a writer, if you are in any form of the arts, you know that self-expression is our goal. We don't, for a lot of us, we're not in it for the money. For a lot of us, it's not about the fame. For a lot of us, it's about expressing ourselves, putting it out there so that others can say, I couldn't have said it better myself. And I don't know if that's the same thing with you, but it's that's exactly the reason why I write.
Yeah, yeah. For me, it's like I felt as a young girl that I didn't have a safe space to express my emotions.
Sure.
I grew up, you know, in a household that didn't allow that. And so I realized how much I kept quiet in my day-to-day life because I didn't have the freedom of expression. And so when I wrote, I felt like I felt so liberated. I felt so aligned with my true self. And I felt like I was on a journey to discovering who I was. And, you know, especially someone that struggles with depression and anxiety, it allows me to regulate my emotions. It allows me to feel my emotions. And I give myself permission to do that, where I think because we do live in a society where we're not as allowed to express our emotions because of the stigma behind them. And I think that is so unfair to the person that is going through grief or sadness, because we need to be able to express our emotions in order to release them. And if we keep them all bottled up inside, it just gets suppressed, and then it comes out in a form that's unhealthy later on, or it just bottles up and we get into a cloud of depression for months instead of allowing ourselves to feel it and move through it in the moment of time, you know. And I just think it's writing is that piece that allows me to express what I'm feeling right then and there.
No, that's good. And I think that that's a good point to make, is the fact that it's okay to not be okay. In fact, it's healthy. It's almost necessary. To not be okay is to also acknowledge your reality of something's wrong. And if you're not living in the reality that you're living in, you're living in a false sense of reality. Okay. I talked to the guy that I, his name is Taylor. He's a doctor, and I went on his podcast and I talked about, it's okay to not be okay. Just don't stay there. And kind of like what you were saying, it's okay to be depressed, to have anxiety, to be anxious and have anxiety. Just find a way to express that and then move on. I think one thing that happened that helped with me was back when I started losing vision, and back when I was first diagnosed with MS, what I like to do was I had a journal, and what I would do is I would write down what was happening. And whether I use swear words, whether I was just screaming in all caps, I got my emotions down in that page and I closed the book and I said, okay, what's next? So I think that's one great way to just express where you're at with your situation is through writing.
Yeah, yeah. And I love what happens when you do document those feelings and emotions and those ebbs and flows of your life, because you can go back and like look how and see how far you've grown. And I think that's just such a vital part of who we are as being human beings, is like celebrating how much we've grown and you know, just become more one with ourselves and with the world around us. And I think it's just such a remarkable way to measure who we are.
Oh my gosh. So I had this journal that I filled this entire journal up in over a 3 month period. And every single day in the morning and at night, I would journal. And I would have different, I'd have a separate page for morning and a separate page for night. And I look back at it now and I say, oh my gosh, I remember every like inner thought that was like going through my mind as I was writing. And I remember like every like moment where I felt scared or every moment where I felt overwhelmed with joy, where I just was so sad and depressed, or I remember all these feelings. And it's almost like reliving an entire summer just through a journal. And the cool part about that is the fact that you get to relive those emotions if you want to. You don't have to. And on top of that, when you just close that book, it's almost like it's no longer there. And that's, no, go ahead. I was just gonna say, and that's the great part about journaling.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have pretty bad sleeping problems. Like my mind loves to race at night. So I noticed a lot of people say, oh, why don't you read a book, or why don't you do something, like to calm. And I meditate a lot, and sometimes meditation does not help me sleep. So what I do instead is I just pick up my journal, I write whatever the heck is going on in my brain, and then that usually does it. That's usually the medicine that puts me to bed.
Yeah, if you guys aren't journaling, I highly recommend it. I mean, there's so many great journals out there. That's the thing is, I think the hardest part about for me, especially as a writer, is picking w and when like and when writing is picking the right journal to write it in. I don't know if you've experienced that problem, but for me, it's like I'm that nitpicky. And I'm like, when I look at this journal and I'm writing, I want to know what it is that's in this journal without even opening it.
Exactly. I'm the same way.
Are
I
you? Okay.
spend like 20 minutes trying to pick one out that I feel like resonates with whatever time in my life that's
Yeah.
happening. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
Like the
totally.
colors and the aesthetic
Totally.
and the feel.
Oh my gosh. And that's the thing. And I give you so much credit, especially with what you do and what you have done, is the fact that when I went online and I looked at the cover of your book, I immediately was like, I know exactly what she's about to write about, but I can't wait to see what she wrote.
Oh my gosh.
And that's why, because like a cover, guys, you can't judge a book by its cover. And that's
But we
never
do.
good. But no, that's never, and it's never going to be true. You never can judge a book by its cover because there's always going to be something hidden. But you can take a guess at what might be in the inside.
Yeah, what did you feel when you saw it?
I felt pain, anguish, and then I felt a release. And I don't know if I'm close there, but like I felt like an entire story almost unravel like in front of my eyes when I w saw that cover.
Well, you'll just have to read it to find out.
Oh,
To all of you listening out there.
looks like I'm gonna have to get the book too.
Yes, absolutely.
That's fantastic. And I think one of the cool things that you and I talked about was that you and I are so in sync when it comes to we just want people to know that they are worthy and that they are not trash and they are not this or that or whatever people say that you are. You are not defined by what people say about you. You're defined by what you tell yourself in the mirror every morning.
Exactly.
It's
Yeah,
the it's
yeah.
that self-talk. That's where it all like comes down. So talk a little bit about kind of like I love that you had to say about it. So talk a little bit about like what's your viewpoint on that?
Yeah, that's really a beautiful perspective to bring up, because I actually write a lot about that in Breaking Free, which is kind of ironic. But yeah, I believe that a lot of our projections of our external reality come from within. So if we're feeling, you know, a lot of self-hatred, a lot of low confidence, a lot of disconnection from ourself, that's going to mirror our external reality, and we're going to believe that's how everybody else sees us. I walked around with this notion that I was like too broken to be loved, or too broken to, you know, be a successful human being in the world. And what, and, you know, by success, I mean joyful, happy, you know, a life of pleasure and abundance. And so for a while, I would like walk up to people and meet them, and then I automatically thought that they saw like this darkness or this evil within me. And it's like, they weren't seeing that at all. That was merely a projection of what I felt like within. And when that would happen, I would just not want to connect with people, because I didn't want them to think I was flawed or feel that I was flawed. And really it was the way that I saw myself. It had nothing to do with the way that somebody else saw me. And so that journey of self-love is so, so important. I think it's the most important quest we can embark on in our lifetimes.
Wow, that's gorgeous. I think that's such an important thing to keep in mind, is the fact that it's sometimes it is kind of sad to say it out loud. But if you don't love yourself and like truly just accept yourself for love and accept yourself for all these, for who you are, and you have to accept your past mistakes. Like, that's part of it, or else it's going to come back to haunt you. You have to accept who you were in your past and who you are now and who you want to be. And you have to love every step of it. And if you don't come to that conclusion of I love myself, then there's no guarantee you're going to get love from anybody else.
Yeah, and I think there's this like false notion of someone being good or bad, and I don't believe in that. I believe that we all are inherently, you know, good souls, but there's certain things in our life that we've gone through that suck us into darker corners, or you know, make us, not even make us, but we just fall into victim. And I think that it's important to realize that we all go through, you know, being human beings, like, not perfect. And it's okay that we're not perfect. That's not what we're striving to be here. I think as long as we can be as authentic and as true and try to grow in the areas that we need to improve on, I think that's all that matters. And to accept ourselves for our imperfections, it allows us to accept others and theirs.
What I like to say is I am imperfectly perfect. And I think that's something is the fact that I am imperfectly perfectly myself. Because guess what? Nobody else can be you. You're the only one. Mm-hmm. Now keep in mind, guys, you will always be loved by God. And when I say anyone, I'm talking about other people. Mm-hmm. Now there's a youth pastor or an ex-youth pastor who retired after 5 years. He's actually coming on, so guys, please be on the lookout for that. Anyway, so he talked about how we all give ourselves I am statements. And what does that mean? You know, in the Bible, there's a bunch of I am statements. I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the gates. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection. I am the resurrected body. They have all these I am statements, but throughout our lives, we develop statements of our own. And on top of that, for you parents out there, your child will start developing I am statements as early as 18 months.
Wow.
Because what happens is your child, like, like poops his pants or pees his pants, even though like you're trying to teach your child how to potty train, and your kid comes up to you and he says, daddy, mommy, whatever the situation might be, I pooped my pants or I peed my pants, and how you react to it will determine what he thinks of himself, even as young as 18 months. Oh my gosh, it's so crazy. And it'll go from I feel disgusting, which is what that child is already feeling at a year and a half, because it feels this sense of like, this shouldn't be happening. I feel gross. And whether you go, hey buddy, it's okay. You just got to tell me. You just got to tell me. Anytime you do that, it's okay. You just got to tell me. And that will leave it as to, I just feel disgusting. But if you react harshly and go, why can't you get it right? Why can't you this? Why can't you that? The child will start to go from, I feel disgusting, to I am disgusting. And that's the psychology behind it. And we start to tell ourselves these I am statements. And he's going to walk you through his entire life of I am statements and how it evolved from I am nothing to I am a child of God, and how he had to struggle to get there. And these I am statements, it's all about self-love. It's all about exactly accepting yourself, like what you said, accepting your past and accepting that you are imperfect, but that's okay. Like we're not, if you're not perfect, that's okay. In fact, that's the way it should be. We're not supposed to be perfect. And we shouldn't expect perfection from others as well.
Right.
And it's these I am statements of saying, I am loved. Mm-hmm. Whether that's from you or from other people. What, I am good enough. I am smart enough. I am an achiever. And then there's this I am a victim mentality to I am a victory mentality. Because those are usually the two ways that you look at a situation. And there's so much to get into with that, but that's just kind of a glimpse of what it means to really look at yourself as loved. Kind of going back to this whole self-love concept.
Yeah, that reminds me of the concept of, you know, if you get into like the victim mentality of like life is happening for me, not to me. And I think that perspective saved my life, because there's so often times when we go through hardship that we feel like we got, you know, the short end of the stick, or we, you know, there's something that must have been wrong with us, that we were dealt a crappy hand. And I believe that everything happens for a reason. And that reason is for us to learn how to grow and evolve and come back to self-love and use that wisdom that we gain through that experience to help other people grow and evolve. And again, that perspective changed my life, because I could have been swimming in the idea that I was a victim to my circumstances, and that place left me in depression for a very long time.
Yeah, guys, if you are in a place like that right now, again, I'm going to leave some contact information that you can reach out to Christine, including her Instagram. And she, if you just need to talk, she has some amazing, amazing perspectives. And on top of that, she can kind of give you a good way of just like telling you, hey, have you tried writing? And she can even tell you about her personal story and how it's helped her. It is quite awe-inspiring when I heard it, because I definitely have been in those places of those lows. And I definitely related to it. And it was not easy for me to accept that this is going to be enough, that all I need to do is write it down. I always felt like I needed to do more or have more or feel more. But She can definitely help you through those times. So if you guys want to reach out to her, please, 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 please do. I highly recommend it. I think it's so important that we brought up the things that we did, because especially nowadays, what we're told to do is to internalize it. Mm. Don't let people know what you're feeling. And if you're a guy, you shouldn't cry or you shouldn't feel. Or if you're a girl, you should always be emotional. Like these societal expectations, or almost, can you think of the word for it? I can't.
Conditionings.
Yes, that's a great word for it, is that you need to be this way or else you don't fit into this category.
Yeah.
Guys, don't listen to what other people say that you need, the way that you need to live. There are two things you need to listen to. What the Bible says, obviously, about how we should live. And the Bible is nothing if not basic instructions before leaving Earth. And that's why we should listen to it. But at the same time, it is your life. It's not their life. Society doesn't own you. You get to decide how you live and how you express what you want to express. And that's the great part about self-expression, is you get to decide how to do it. And it doesn't matter what other people say. Back when I started writing, I definitely had people who did not want me to continue writing. But I know for a fact that if only one person could relate to a poem I wrote and that helped them, that was enough for me. I guarantee you are not alone. In whatever your circumstances, you are not alone. There are people out there in the same place that you are. So reach out. And who knows, you might just find someone who can relate to you.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing to bring up about people not wanting, you know, you to write. Because in Breaking Free, I wrote a lot about a couple of situations that I know that some people that were involved in, if they were to read it, that they wouldn't be too happy about it. But I keep reminding myself of the why in which I wrote it, and the why in which I needed to express that story. And if I could help one person change their life or save their life, then it's worth it. It's worth every, you know, other aspect that could come from, every negative aspect that could come from sharing such a vulnerable story. And so I think, you know, if any of you out there are scared to use your voice because of the ramifications, I hear you and I see you. But just remember the why behind it. Remember that you could, you know, potentially help somebody else that's going through something traumatic get through it. And that's just so important. I think that's why it's so important to share our stories and our experiences with one another, whichever way that may be for you, you know?
Yeah. It's so true. It's so true, man. Wow. It's great conversations here. Guys, if you want to hear more of Christine's perspectives, approaches, and just her experiences and what she has to say, please let me know and we might be able to schedule an encore interview here. But unfortunately, this is where this interview ends. Again, I'm trying to keep these interviews short for you guys. That's why I love the fact that when I have guests on, we can just get to what we want to get to, like right away. Like there's no like building up to it. We can just get into it. Christine, is there anything that you want to say to the audience that would you just want them to know?
Don't be afraid of your inner light. Don't be afraid to go within, and don't be afraid to feel what you're feeling in the moment and allow yourself, give yourself permission to feel what you need in order to heal and release something that could be heavy on your heart. I can't say that enough. So just come home to yourself as much as you can. It's so important.
Woo! I like it. That's awesome. Don't be afraid to shine your inner light. Wow. That I think that's a great place to end it on. Guys, again, all the links to contacting Christine, if you want to reach out to her and checking out what she's all about, I will leave those links in the description, along with if you want to get in contact with me, there's some links in the description for that too. Guys, I love how my ending for all my podcasts, I love how this ties in so well for this. Guys, don't forget to stay up to date with everything that I do when it comes to social media posts, because I give you kind of a behind the scenes look at what I do. Don't forget to stay aware, stay healthy, and above all else, guys, stay awesome. See you guys later.